We're going to look at the topic of the mind this morning. And I'm going to give you some fast brain facts. The first one is that your brain is 80% water. And that is the same percentage as a grape. So imagine that. Got kind of like a grape in your head. Percentages of oxygen and blood flow going to the brain is upwards of 20%. 1,000 to 10,000 is the number of synapses for each neuron in your brain. There is about 100 billion neurons in your brain, if you can imagine that. And there are 12 billion cells in your brain. So I give you these brain facts because, as I mentioned, we're going to continue on in this series on being spiritually disciplined. This morning, looking at our brain or our heart, which is the control center that God has given each one of us. And this is what we'll learn this morning. It's something also that, as I remind you, that as we learn from God's word and we look at this topic, is something to be applied into our lives for our growth in Christ. And so this morning we're going to look at two applicational points. The first is that we must guard ourselves daily from being mindless Christians. And the second is we are to think about growing ourselves to have the mind of Christ daily. And so before we jump into these points, let it be said that we know from the Bible that the mind is the most effective and most fruitful when it is redeemed in Christ by the gospel. In Christ, our minds can be constantly renewed. As Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 2, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And so if you were with us last year in January, I preached a sermon titled Cultivating a Renewed Mind. And it was on this verse, actually verses 1 and 2 from Romans 12. It's on our website still in the archives, sermon archives, and I encourage you to listen to that again or listen to it for the first time because it is a great companion to what we're learning this morning. Now, despite the dizzying array of sophisticated technology around us, the bottom line is that there's no Intel processor, there's no iPad, there's no smartphone, I call it dumb phone, that can actually think God's thoughts after him. There is no device that can know the will of God, nor be able to carry out his calling. But this mass, this grape water held mass of cells between our ears does have the capacity to have the mind of Christ, which is quite amazing if you really think about it. And therefore, let us delve into our first applicational point. Number one, we must guard ourselves. You must guard yourself daily from being mindless Christians. And so as we begin, it's helpful to understand that the biblical perspective and contrast between two types of people. First, it is the Christian mind, one that is redeemed in Christ, born again, having repented of sin and continues to trust in him through faith and grace. And this is compared to the unbeliever or the unsaved, the unregenerate mind of a person who is not saved from their sin and is therefore apart from Christ. The Apostle Paul first states that the Christian is able to have a Christ-like mind in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And he states this about us believers who follow Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So what those two verses are telling us is that we find that Christians have God's Spirit who indwells in us, and it is His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that teaches us God's Word and helps us to apply His Word into our life so that we think and that we live God's way as He knows what is best for us. It is a spiritually disciplined mind that the Holy Spirit begins to build in us, the believer in Christ. As we continue to read from 1 Corinthians 2, the next verse tells us the state of the second type of person, the unbelieving, non-Christian mind. And in verse 14, it says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." And so this time we find that the spiritually unregenerate or the natural mind rejects the things of God unless God is working in that mind to draw that unsaved, unredeemed person to Christ. And so if God is not doing that, then that person, the unbeliever, thinks God's way are stupid, even though he knows that God is the creator, his creator. So it's not for him. That's what he comes to the conclusion. He wants to make his own way in this world. So he becomes essentially his own God, little g. And he even embraces many false gods. Then Paul concludes in verse 15 about the Christian. It says, "For us, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him?" And here's the point. But we have the mind of Christ. And so what Paul is telling us is that the Christian is not understood by the unbeliever who doesn't have the capacity to accept spiritual things and, in fact, opposes them. However, you, the Christian, having been transformed, do understand the spiritual things of Christ found in His Word, the Bible. And so you can live to His glory, the glory of God. One area in our culture that all our minds are influenced by is in media and entertainment. Television, internet, games like Wii or movies, online gaming, sports, etc. All that media. It has been documented that Christians have the same input in this realm as the secular world. So that's pretty startling. If the secular world is influenced by media and is really driven by media, and surveys say that Christians are really no different, that should be a wake-up call for us. We're not called to be the same. So if we think about it, even before the moment of most of us even fully wake up, media is already there. It's ready to bombard us. You know, the Alexa alarm goes off with perhaps weather or sports or traffic reports or headlines, maybe music. The rush through breakfast is accompanied by a newspaper, or maybe you're online on your phone reading that. The rush through breakfast is just driven by media. It just continues. And then we hop into our cars, maybe jump on a bus, and we listen to the radio or stream Spotify. Maybe we're on the SkyTrain. Maybe we've taken that paper that we've got. At least in our house, we get the Vancouver Courier. Maybe we're on our smartphone surfing for the latest whatever catches your attention. We arrive at the office or maybe at school, and there's a distant buzz of the music overhead in the speakers. We're sitting down at our desk. We log on to check emails. While we're glancing at the latest events on our homepage. On breaks, we're back onto to the cubicle. Same thing again. That's the same barrage takes place on our way home, on our breaks. If you need to pick up kids, many vehicles have built-in DVD systems, and so we pop in a DVD, and so on it goes. Media, media, media. We get home, we relax, and what's probably one of the first things that we do? We grab our smartphone and we're on media again. To relax, we're on Netflix, Disney Plus. Even as I was writing this sermon, my phone was chiming notifications begging me to pay attention to media. Here's one article, and ironically, I got it off media. It's titled Ipsos OTX Study. People spend more than half their day consuming media. Half their day. If we really look at our own lives, I think some of us, hopefully not all of us, spend half our day on media. The study was of 7,000 people online consumers aged 13 to 74. And thanks to smartphones and laptops, people are now spending one half of their waking days interacting with media and have increased their media consumption by an hour per day over the last 2 years. And this survey is quite old, actually. So all between that survey and now, if everybody's adding an hour per day over the last 2 years, we are oversaturated with media. That's more time than they spend at work or sleep. The media is not there to serve you, let me tell you. It's there to serve itself and the owners and promoters of it. And for example, the U.S. Bureau of the Census, Statistical Abstract of the United States, this is also a little bit older survey, cited that if this television audience size were to decrease by 1%, the television industry would stand to lose $250 million annually in advertising revenue. And that'll be certainly more than that by now. There has been no decrease in TV consumption, and that consumption, of course, would have increased. Advertisers spend $215 billion annually on TV commercials because they know that those commercials have influence on those who watch those commercials. Companies pay 5.6, if you're into sports, Super Bowl, companies pay $5.6 million for one commercial for the most prime spot in the Super Bowl. That's a lot of money. And for us, the born-again believer, God calls you through his word to grow not in media, but in godliness. So we must guard ourselves daily from being mindless Christians, because a lot of times when we are engaged with media, our minds are just kind of numb. We're just kind of soaking it in. And it's affecting us in ways that you don't realize. Your minds in Christ are to be spiritually disciplined as each day passes. And it helps us to be all in. All in for Christ with everything that we have in order to be spiritually disciplined. And therefore, we must take a drastic decrease in the amount of worldly input we have each day. We do our best to have all that junk all out, in contrast to being all in for Christ. And as we progress in our holiness, we have to be warned that sometimes it doesn't take much to fall down the hill. God's word tells us where the battle is. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 is very relevant for us to understand. It reveals our control center, the mind or the heart. It's like this, it says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And even though we're redeemed in Christ, we cannot understand ourselves. We cannot fully understand our heart apart from the Word of God. And so God reveals to us that we can be self-deceived. And so the battle is not in the dumpster of media, but the battle is squarely found in your heart, in our mind. For we still live in this body of flesh. Galatians 5:17 states this, "For this flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." And as a reminder, Paul wrote this to the Galatians, the Christians at Galatia. And that applies to us. There's this battle between the flesh if we don't guard our minds and our heart. In the context of our analysis of media, we should note that it can be used in God-honoring ways. So I'm not saying that media is just trash all media. The gospel actually is carried through media to the ends of the world in ways that will please God. But we need to guard ourselves still. We need to be careful about it. And what I'm biblically exhorting you to is to have a mind, the mind of Christ. As cited earlier, Paul commends us in Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So in light of media, have a change of mind that is God glorifying to how you consume that media and how it might consume you. In fact, Romans 12, 1, we have an answer to the goal of being spiritually disciplined. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." And so that ties into John 4, where Jesus says that God desires, the Father desires those of us who worship him, to worship in spirit and in truth. And so we are to be presenting our minds, which I mentioned to you is the control center of the whole person, or the Bible often uses the word heart. We're presenting that to God for the purpose of your spiritual service of worship. We are to immerse our minds in the things that please God so that we are those who are worshiping as the way that the Father desires, those who worship in spirit and in truth. That is our spiritual service of worship. And media can unwittingly become your wrong object of worship. And so if media is out of control in your life, and it includes anything else that is not God glorifying in your life, anything that's out of control, here's Jesus' solution for you found in Matthew chapter 5. Verses 29 and 30. "If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." Strong words, strong contrast by Jesus. So in the spiritual discipline of the mind, if we are sincerely seeking after God's glory in our lives, then we might need to bring out the sword of the Spirit and start slicing away the things that do not please God. And we are to undertake the spiritual amputations needed to be mindful Christians, those who live in spirit and in truth. And when we submit ourselves in obedience to the Holy Spirit, then it leads us to the second point of application to acknowledge and also to live out. And so number two is we are to think about growing ourselves to have the mind of Christ daily. And I use that the two words think about, it comes from a verse that I'm going to refer to in a moment. So I'm not, this application is not merely to think about. And I'm going to, as I mentioned, I'm going to expand on what that those two words actually mean for us. But right now, we are to be thankful that our redeemed minds can glorify Jesus every day. That is a reality, that is a certain possibility if we are all in. And despite this great God given ability to have the mind of Christ, it is a supernatural ability. It is a spiritually disciplined reality. Yet there remains in the church mindless Christians, those who do not engage their minds upon Christ and his word. Really, they leave their 12 billion cells unguarded. And they leave those cells undisciplined, and therefore sadly live as mindless Christians, those who live their lives defeated when Christ in fact died so that he is victorious over sin and that we can become victorious over sin also. And so maybe we need to repent as we think through these things and remember that through Christ's death on the cross, then his resurrection, we have gospel hope. This is not the end. This is the beginning in Christ. And we in Christ have victory over sins of the mind. And so the good news is that the scripture reveals that the biblical writers were well aware of this problem. It's not just our problem of this generation. It is not something that is new, which dogs our generation and our culture. Go back to Old Testament, Proverbs 4, verse 23 warns, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." And Kent Hughes, which I'm basing this series on his work, comments from his book, Disciplines of a Godly Man. That's an excellent book to read. He states, "The scripture tells us rightly that input determines output, that our programming determines production," end quote. And so it is for us to understand that being spiritually disciplined in your mind is very important for every one of us. In maturing in our faith, it affects all of life and living. In other words, it's GIGO. I don't know, do you know what GIGO means? G-I-G-O, it's a computing term. Garbage in, garbage out, as I've been reminded by a brother. And so if being spiritually disciplined in your mind is all-encompassing of what your life in Christ is to be, how can you grow in it? How can we as a church grow in it? In the New Testament, Paul writes about guarding the heart or the mind. He gives us the biblical prescription, the antidote for wrong thinking. So if you take your Bibles, please open your Bibles to Philippians 4. Verses 8 to 9, and we're going to spend a bit of time in this passage. As I mentioned, it is the biblical prescription against wrong thinking. It is the prescription to grow our minds in Christ. Philippians 4, verses 8 to 9. It says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." We should know that each part of this antidote to wrong thinking is explicitly God-honoring and Christ-exalting, to think upon what God desires for your mind. And so as we look at these realities, we might discover that God declares through Paul, this is how my people are to think. This is how you are to think. We here in this church. Each one of us have the God-given stewardship to possess spiritually disciplined minds. So don't make any excuses that you can't be spiritually disciplined. And so each one of you have the responsibility to respond to God's word, or you have the choice, the wrong choice, to reject what God's word says. And so what we do with God's word will result in you becoming a mindless Christian if you reject what God has to say. Or if you accept what God's word has to say, then you will have the mind of Christ. And so as we choose to put on the mind of Christ in our thinking, our hearts, we find that we must reject negative input. And as applied to Philippians 4, we are exhorted to this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever you find to be untrue, whatever is not honorable to the Lord, whatever is wrong, whatever is impure, whatever is unlovely, whatever is something not to be admired, if there is anything shoddy or if there is anything unworthy of praise, do not dwell on these things. Don't let it rule your mind. Otherwise, it will affect your thinking. So what goes in, garbage out. Meaning that it's going to show up in your life. Jesus said, what comes out flows from the heart. What's in your heart, if it's evil or it's good, it will show up in your life. Now, Paul wasn't suggesting some program of the power of positive thinking. Just think these things and you're going to be a good person. He's talking about radical transformation. But it was born out of the reality that man is totally depraved. And Paul wrote clearly about that over and over again. For example, just read through Romans chapter 1. It's a good commentary on our culture today. But thankfully, you have tremendous, radiant hope in Christ, that in Christ and for Christ, by his Spirit, he can renew our sinful minds to be transformed, to be empowered to think biblically, to think in the way that God created us to think and to live. Hughes states this, quote, "So we must lay down as fundamental to our Christianity this truth. A Christian mind demands conscious negation. A Christian mind is impossible without the discipline of refusal," end quote. It's a pretty powerful statement to reflect what the scripture calls us to. Here's some real good counsel for Christians like us living in the media age. Now keep your finger in Philippians and turn to Psalm 101. Psalm 101, verses 2 and 3. I can just look at the second part of verse 2 going into verse 3. Psalm 101. And this is a good verse to point out, print out, I should say, and post on your TV or computer or bathroom mirror if that helps you. It states this, "I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless." It's interesting that the psalmist mentions specifically, "I will walk within the integrity of my heart," and specifically within my house. Likely, it's specific there because we are most ourselves at home, isn't it? Right? We might kind of glam ourselves up to go to work, and then when we get home, we just put on our rags like I do. I like to wear my dirty clothes, and I don't care if it gets dirty. We become ourselves. That's what we are in our homes, in our privacy of our bedroom, in your comfortable sofa or familiar reaches of media, etc. Let me just quote Hughes again. He says, we need to allow Christ to be the Lord of our prime time. Something to meditate upon, Psalm 101. Now let's turn back to our passage, which is Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, which leads us to know what a spiritually disciplined mind looks like. And if you look at the end of verse 8, you'll find this challenge. Think about these things. Now, have you heard the word logarithm? Probably most of you, if all of you, have heard that. It's used often in reference to mathematics. One dictionary states, logarithms were invented to simplify cumbersome calculations. Okay, so that's a definition of what a logarithm accomplishes. And now with the advent of calculators or computers, it's so much easier to calculate stuff. And the phrase at the end of verse 8, think about these things. So think about is from the Greek word logizomai. It has the meaning of take into account, reflect upon, evaluate. It's a kind of sustained process of and contemplation that is required in looking at the mathematical problem to reason to a logical conclusion. So what does this have to do with Philippians 4:8? It calls for our minds. Paul is using these words given to him by the Holy Spirit, calls for our minds to take into account, to reflect upon, evaluate to a logical conclusion, which is the practice of that which is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good, repute, excellence, worthy of praise. Think upon those things. The Greek grammar for the word tells us that this is a command to be for us to continually put on a habit of thought. We are to keep focused, to think about what pleases God. And so throughout the day, as I mentioned last time, when we looked at worship, we are to be preparing for worship. The moment we leave, we end the service. We are to think about, to continually think about, to keep focused about the things that please God in order to be those worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. And that means that we will respond to God's word and we will live for him with disciplined minds. I'm not saying it's easy, because all of us, including myself, struggle and sometimes we fall back. But by the gospel grace of God, through Christ, we can ask for forgiveness and he will forgive us. There's a promise attached, a blessing to be received, which is that God, the God of peace, here in Philippians, it says, the God of peace will be with you. And this is a deeply satisfying life, living in light of the spiritually disciplined mind. The implications of this kind of living reach into all areas of life, our relationships, our child raising, our business practices, our work habits, our studying habits, our shopping, our attacking anxiety, dealing with fear, reducing stress. We live in a stress-filled society. Biblically, biblical definition of stress is it is a sinful response to circumstances that God has allowed. Think about that. And certainly, it also applies, all these things apply to your media choices. So the point for us to take away today and apply until we meet Christ face to face is that we are to desire to seek after the blessed word of God continuously, relentlessly, deeply exposing and immersing your mind in it. As one beloved professor of mine, I got this term from him, I'm not sure if he originated it, but he says, think God's thoughts after him. And we can only think God's thoughts after him. We can only have the mind of Christ. We can only think about these things if we're immersed in the Word of God. If you're immersed in media, you know what happens. And so, we are to think God's thoughts after Him and to implant into that 3 to 4 pound computer in here, in your mind, God's words. Aside from your main Bible reading, we should fill our minds with solidly biblical media books. There's some good books that I can recommend to you. There's some books over there that are laid out. There are excellent Christ-centered CDs. There are DVDs. There are music, Christian music that exalts God. There are podcasts. There are blogs to read that are available a click away 24/7. So good media, God-honoring media. But some of that media, I must say, that is in the guise of Christian is not all that good. So be discerning. And if you have the mind of Christ, you'll be able to discern what is the good media, Christian media, from the bad Christian media. And all that will foster being spiritually disciplined in your mind. As we close, Hugh states several things, and I'm lumping them into one thought. He says, you must remember this. You can never have a Christian mind without reading the scriptures regularly, because you cannot be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know. What an eternal tragedy it is then to have this mind and have it redeemed, yet not have a Christian mind. We must protect our minds. We must refuse to allow our culture's media to write our program. We must say no to the wastelands that invade our homes, end quote. And one final quote, which is a very important quote, because it's from God's word, and He gets the last word this morning, from Colossians 3:15-17, which guides us with some of the right media choices. God says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which is also mind, to which indeed you were called in one body, and to be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Let's pray. Lord God, how true your words are, that your words are to be a lamp unto our feet. It is to guide us on the path to being spiritually disciplined in our minds. Lord, we know that it's not easy in this world. We are constantly being bombarded by media. We don't even have to look for it. It really seeks us out. But Lord, we can be influenced by godly media and the eternal media of your word. That needs to be forefront. And so, Lord, we pray that we know that we do fall short. We do live in this body of flesh, but it is no excuse. And so, Lord, might we repent of anything that holds us back from being mindful Christians. Having the mind of Christ, what a tremendous gift that we have, that ability, that supernatural ability, because it's given to us because of the gospel. That is the will of God, that we are transformed and renewed in our minds, that we put aside secular things, things of this world that we are not to be conformed to, but rather we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is why He saved us. so that we might become more holy each day. And that calls for sacrifice. It is the call of Christ, of discipleship, to deny ourselves, to take up the cross daily, and to follow Him alone. And so, Lord, we are not defeated. We have Your Spirit living in us. As long as we don't quench the Spirit, that we don't grieve the Spirit. And so, Lord, we have much hope that we can grow to be the people that You desire. We can grow to be the church that You desire. And so that we would be like lights on a hill, shining for You, Lord, each day. That we might be like the salt of the earth, influencing others who don't know Christ with the gospel. And so, Lord, do that work in us that You've begun at the moment that You saved us. Even into eternity You prepared. And so, Lord, we have a tremendous task. We have much glorious ministry ahead of us. And so, Lord, we ask that You, through what You've taught us this morning, what You've reminded us, would use that to stir us, to reorganize our lives, reorganize our minds so that we are focused on Your glory alone. That is our spiritual worship. What a tremendous privilege we have. And so, Lord, we thank You. We thank You for this time. We thank You for gathering us this morning. We are indeed blessed, and we give You thanks in Christ. Amen.